to focus on prayer right here at this time of year as we enter into the Easter season. And as I said, we're in day 12 of 40 days. So we have 29 days left, and just am so grateful for you guys and your partnership with me in this effort as we pray for our community and as we grow in this understanding of prayer and the power of prayer and how the Lord wants us to be a people of prayer. So many Christians have unfortunately given up on the possibility of entering into an effective prayer ministry. You say, well, why would anybody who claims to be a Christian give up on prayer? Well, it's not that people doubt the power of prayer. The problem is that they've tried it and found it lacking in their estimation. Or they've tried it and their observation or their experience is nothing happened. I didn't see any change. It was ineffective. And so we recognize that a lot of times people turn to prayer during times of crisis or when people are going through days of crushing disappointment. And others have asked for guidance at critical times, divine guidance, divine intervention, but just seemed to receive no response from the Lord. So I want to ask this question. Why are our prayers sometimes unanswered? Why are our prayers sometimes unanswered? I mean, are we praying incorrectly? Do we simply fail to recognize the answer to our prayers when they come? Is some important quality in our life missing? You know, we may even come to the conclusion that only certain people are privileged to have an effective prayer life. Because we may observe other people praying and we see God working mightily through their prayers, but when we look at our own, we just really don't see a lot happening. Beloved, I want you to understand that prayer is both a privilege and a responsibility for every Christian. Prayer is a privilege as well as a responsibility to anyone and to everyone who claims a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus taught this, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus himself commanded us to be people of prayer, that we are to always pray and to never lose heart. And it seems in that verse that he's connecting the idea of losing heart in prayer, since that's kind of the theme of Luke 18 verse 1. And so we know that that's not the case. We know that it's not God's objective that there would only be certain designated people who can pray powerfully. We all, if we are in Christ, we have access to the Father. Amen? And we have access to the power that comes through the Holy Spirit and by way of the Father. Now, since we are commanded to pray, it follows that every Christian can pray effectively. If our prayer life is faltering, there's probably a reason why. Let me say that again. If your prayer life is faltering, there is probably a reason why. Now, last week we looked at one reason for faltering prayer, or I'll call them barriers to an effective prayer life. And we looked at Psalm 51 and we talked about David's life and how he had drifted. He had allowed himself to drift away from an intimacy and a personal, passionate relationship with God. And as a result of that, he separated himself. Then there was no longer an intimacy with God. David suffered from that. And as a result of not having an intimacy with God, he chose sin over God. And he sinned deeply and horribly. And he committed adultery. And then on the heels of that, he murdered the husband of the one he committed adultery with. And then once he was confronted, we see him coming clean in Psalm 51. And so we concluded that a lack of confession can be a barrier to our prayers. And we recognize that whenever we have unconfessed sin in our lives, that there's going to be a lack of effectiveness. In other words, our prayers are going to be restricted. Our prayers are going to be hindered as a result of unconfessed sin. And we see David in that psalm getting right with God and just, you know, being honest and crying out to God for His mercy. And God, you know, what we have to know is that anytime we come clean before God, God is there. God, that's what God is desiring for us to do. And God desires for us to be intimate with Him and not to allow any sin to come between our relationship with Him. But today I want to talk to you about a second barrier that the Scripture would indicate. A second barrier. Another thing, if you will, that if you allow it, will stifle your prayers and will cause your prayer life to be ineffective. Do you ever pray and you get through praying and you just feel like, man, that was just seemed like it was just empty? Like my prayers were just not getting past the ceiling. You ever feel like that? Yeah, I think sometimes we do. And sometimes there's a reason for that. So before I give you that and launch into that, I want to pray with you. Can I do that? So let's pray together. Father, I thank You just for the wonderful privilege of being able to preach Your Word and being able to look into Your Scriptures and be encouraged by it and to be instructed through it. And I just pray You would help us this morning in just a little bit of time, 10, 15 minutes that we have left, just to really focus on You and to really invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us. If we need to be convicted, I pray that we would be convicted. If we need to be encouraged, I pray that we would be encouraged. And I pray overall that You would be exalted through our study of Your Word this morning. And God, that we would be able to draw near to You as a result of encountering the living Word of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the second barrier that I want to talk to you about is unforgiveness. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And I want you to know that whenever we harbor unforgiveness, in other words, whenever we have refused to extend forgiveness, to people, it hinders our prayer life. I want you to look at this verse with me. It says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Do you see that? So the context is prayer. The picture is of somebody who is standing and praying. And the commandment is, or the imperative is, to forgive. It's real simple. To forgive. And then it says, if you have anything against anyone. So this is the idea that somebody has wronged you. Okay? They have offended you. They have sinned against you. They have done something towards you to hurt you. And as a result of you being hurt, the scriptures say, as you stand to pray, that you need to forgive them. That you need to forgive them. That you are called to forgive them. Because notice this, and notice that it's comprehensive. It doesn't say there's no caveats. There's no unless this. Do you see that? It's no questions asked. It's no matter what the... But they hurt me. Forgive them. But they said this against me. Forgive them. But they harmed me. Forgive them. There's not... there. It's forgive them. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts to this. It says, if you have anything, you guys understand that? Anything. That's comprehensive. In other words, there's nothing you can say, what about this, that would disqualify your command or God's command for you to forgive. Right? Everybody got that? Shake your head yes if you understand that. And then it's, if you have anything against someone. Is that what it says? No, anything against? Say that. If you have anything against?
Anyone.
Y'all can do better. If you have anything against?
Anyone.
What are you to do?
Forgive.
Forgive. You're to forgive. You don't have an option in this. If you say that you are a Christian, you have an obligation under God to forgive. You cannot hold any bitterness. You cannot hold any resentment. You are obligated under Jesus Christ to forgive. And it says this, so that. Why? Why am I to forgive? Here's the reason why. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Are you with me? And the whole idea is that has anybody ever wronged you to the degree that you have wronged God?
No.
No. The answer is no. We have sinned against God so much more than anybody even remotely has ever sinned against us, right? And so if God could forgive us for all of our sin, how dare us? Are y'all with me? How dare us refuse to offer forgiveness to any? That's an insult. Are y'all with me? When you've been forgiven so much, you're going to say, no, I'm going to withhold forgiveness over some petty offense when compared to how we have offended Almighty God? No, it's wrong. Nobody has ever in this room come close to wronging you to the degree that you have wronged God.
Amen.
And we stand before God guilty. And yet God sent His Son to die for us. And God forgives us of the nastiest, filthiest, most vile sins against Almighty God. And who are we to ever withhold forgiveness to anybody else? A people who have been forgiven so much. We of all people. And I'm telling you, so that also your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. And I'm telling you that When you refuse to forgive, your relationship with God is undermined. And as a result of that, your prayer life, that's why it says, whenever you stand to pray. So you know what would be a good practice? Not only that when you stand to pray, you confess like we talked about last week. God, I just confess to you. I need your mercy because I've sinned against you. And that we would get a clean slate before God. But also that you would say that you would be thinking about who has wronged you. And you would be saying, God, I forgive that person. And they did this to me. God, I forgive them. I forgive them for what they said. I forgive them for the way they treated me. I forgive them for whatever it is. I forgive them. And that way we can keep a clean slate before God. And then also, the other thing is that we don't get bitter and resentful. Because really, forgiveness is as much, if probably more so, for you and me than it is for the person. Because oftentimes the person has just gone on. They don't even know. They're not worried about what they said to you. But we're sitting there harboring it, right? And what does that do to us? We get bitter, right? I read the story. I want to tell you about this story because you don't want to get like this. This is what how you don't want to become, but this is how you will become if you're not careful. In his best-selling book, The Telling Room, Michael Pernitti shares a true story that he heard when visiting his father's ancestral village in Sicily. So true story, guy's visiting where his dad grew up in Sicily. Everybody with me? And every day while he was in this village, he saw this really, really old woman walking with her cane, struggling up this really steep hill of a road. And where was she going? Heading to a local cemetery. And it was said that at her tortoise pace, the walk from her home to the cemetery and back took 6 hours out of her day. Every day, 6 hours to the cemetery and back. And so the question that Michael had as he watched her day after day is, what in the world is it that would inspire her to devote that kind of time and energy and effort into walking to that cemetery every day? Well, I mean, was she driven by some kind of sorrow over a departed child or a deceased husband, the love of her life? Was that it? No. The locals told Michael that she was driven by hastío, or bitter hatred. Her arch enemy was buried in that cemetery. And every day of her life, she would walk that 6 hours to spit on that arch enemy's grave. We shake our heads. And we cringe. And we can't believe that. And yet, we harbor resentment. And we harbor bitterness in our heart. And it may not be to that degree, but we do. And doctors have said, I read one case study that said a doctor surveyed his patients, and 70% of his patients admitted that they had resentment and bitterness in their hearts. I'm telling you, bitterness and resentment will not only affect you spiritually, it'll affect you physically. You know, I had to laugh. I ran across this story that they said that people that study animals got to studying animals to see if they could denote anything in any animals that would that would be similar to forgiveness. In other words, they asked the question, do animals forgive? And the article summarized the research this way. Are y'all ready for this? Cats never forgive. Listen to this. I knew there was... So do I. Unfortunate. No. Hey, I've got a cat, and I would testify they don't forgive. I can affirm this scientific study. It said scientists have observed conciliatory behavior in many different animal species. Did y'all see that video of that dog that got tied up? Ken, you posted it. That dog got tied up in that it looked like a curtain. Did y'all see that? You remember, Ken? You remember posting that, Ken? Okay. I just saw it like over the last day or two. Anyway, it's a video, and a dog has got his hind quarter wrapped up in a curtain on the back porch, and a police officer apparently got called, and this dog is going crazy because he can't get loose. And so the police officer comes and he climbs over the fence to get to the dog. And the dog is wigging out. And so he's trying to be really careful because the dog's squealing and barking. And I know the cop thinks he's probably going to get bitten, but he gets out his knife and the dog's again going crazy. And he finally is able to free that dog from that curtain. And do you know what that dog did when he got free? He went all over that cop, loving on that cop. He did. I mean, he jumped up on that cop. Did you see it? How many of you saw it? Okay. So I'm not lying, right? Bunch of y'all are looking. He's making this up, man. No, it was so powerful. And that's what these...
He was yelling so much.
Yeah, the dog was. So anyway, it says that... the bulk of the research has been on primates like gorillas and chimps who often follow confrontations with friendly behavior like embracing or kissing. And scientists have observed similar behaviors in non-primates like goats and hyenas and other species that has so far failed to show outward signs of reconciliation are domestic cats. What's the moral of this story? Huh? Don't, that's it. I mean, we can all get our arms around this, isn't it? Be like a dog, be like a hyena, be like a chimp, but do not be like a cat. So it's a funny way to look at a not so funny reality, isn't it? Guys, if you don't want your prayer life to be hindered, forgive. 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 Forgive and forget. So just in our last few minutes together, I want to just take a minute for each of us individually to be able to go before the Lord and to be able to just ask Him, God, who have I not forgiven? Who am I holding resentment toward? Who am I holding bitterness toward? And just to ask God, God, would you bring him or her to mind so that I can forgive them? And we'll just ask God to help us. Because I know that sometimes the hurt is really, really deep. And really, really painful. And sometimes we need God to enable us to forgive. I mean, sometimes we can't do it on our own. Amen? apart from a supernatural work of God. But God wants that for us. Amen? And I want that for us. So let's go before the Lord together. And just in this little moment of silence, that we would just talk to the Lord about that person that you have yet to forgive. Father, we acknowledge that today's lesson is a difficult one. And we live in a world that is where we are continually being hurt. And Lord, forgiveness for us is not it's not easy. We admit that we have been challenged to forgive some who have wronged us deeply, wounded us severely, acutely. But Lord, we also understand how much we've been forgiven. And when we compare how much you've forgiven us with how much that person has wronged us, we really can't compare. So Lord, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us to be able to leave here with no wrong left unforgiven. No offense that anybody has ever committed against us, that we would just in our own minds, and that you would help us supernaturally to just turn over our anger, turn over our resentment, turn over our bitterness, turn over our unforgiveness to you. And Lord, that we would be able to leave here just free and liberated from the hurt and from the heartache that unforgiveness that we've harbored, the unforgiveness that we've harbored has created in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would supernaturally deliver us from that anger and from that bitterness right now in Jesus' name, God. And Lord, I know that in the days to come that even though we've acknowledged it and we've forgiven them, that the enemy will try to get us to take hold of it again. But God, I pray that you would deliver us completely and totally. And I pray, God, that you would help us to, when we see that person, to be loving toward them and Christ-like. And Lord, for some of us, we would need to reach out to that person. And I pray that you would give us the courage to do what we need to do so that our prayers would not be hindered, and that we would be able to have an effectual, fervent prayer life and relationship with you. Lord, thank you again so much for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for forgiving us so much more than we could ever be asked to forgive anybody else. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, go out and live it, guys. Amen. This week, I want you all to go out and tell somebody about the love of Christ and the way that you've been forgiven. Can we do that? All right, you're dismissed.